What's this? A cougar and a ute sharing the same podcast? That can only mean you're listening to State of Sports Utah with Jason Stoll and Jake Lukler.
Hello, everybody. Welcome on in to the State of Sports Utah podcast. I mean, eventually we got to add some more states in here, right?
We do Utah so well, we may as well just start, conquering the whole country.
Right. So, I mean, if you're in Arizona and want to talk Arizona sports in a joint podcast and never talk to us and just use the branding, our very official branding of State of Sports, hit us up.
It doesn't necessarily have to be Arizona. I mean, look, you never know. Alaska could have a thriving sports podcast industry. We just might not know about it.
Dude, yeah, the Alaskan Chippewas. Huge in football, man.
Is that what they are?
I have no idea.
The Chippewas. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this will be our last episode because Jason just got us canceled.
Nah, wait, the Chippewas. What is that, cancelable?
I don't know.
Isn't it an animal? It's a Chippewas. I'm pretty sure it's an animal.
I don't know.
Jake just assumed that a Native American.
It's 2023. You should always assume you're going to be canceled.
Oh man, the Chippewas. Well, on that lovely note, welcome on in to the podcast. Football is here. We've had a glorious 2 weeks, and before I get too far, and before we get too excited, guys, we are going to be 25% of the way through the season after this Saturday.
No, don't say
we
that, Jason.
We are a quarter of the way through
talking. Cease speaking. No, football season just started. We have months and weeks and long, long periods of time.
It will never end. No, we do have the NFL's back too, and that goes on for forever. Us NBA fans will get NBA back. So even if college football eventually comes to an end, sports is still here until next summer. So, yeah. But I mean, we've got college football for such a limited time, so we just got to enjoy it, man. Like, live every day of college football with a little bit of extra appreciation.
And I'm definitely appreciating this season, Jason. This has been a good start to the season. I honestly, little factoid for everybody, and spoiler alert for those who actually didn't watch the game, although if you didn't, why are you listening now? This is the first time that both BYU and Utah have started 2-0 undefeated, started out the year since 2015. Now, to be fair, a lot of those years were spoiled because BYU and Utah played each other in week two.
So you didn't have that opportunity to both start out.
Yeah, yeah. So last time it happened was 2015.
So off the top of your head, Jake, or maybe you have it written down, who was that for Utah?
I know one was Michigan. That was Harbaugh's first game with Michigan.
Yep.
And it was in Rice Eccles. It was probably the biggest home opener at the time ever, honestly. It was the biggest home opener at the time. And I don't remember who the second one is.
You were on your mission for that.
Yeah,
I was
on my mission. I believe it was Utah State, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it was Utah State off the top of my head. So,
really? I'm not remembering that at all. BYU, that was my first year back of college football back from my mission. And that was the back-to-back weeks of Nebraska and Boise State with Tanner Mangum. So you had back-to-back Hail Mary wins. It was,
yeah.
Oh, I was going nuts, man. I was so happy. It was such a good start.
And I did just confirm it. It was Michigan and then Utah State.
There you go. That might have been the last time Utah played Utah State.
It was. It was the last time Utah played Utah State. That is true.
Good riddance.
Oh, the gaggies. All right. Well, Jason, what do you say we hop into reviewing the first 2 weeks? Why don't you
So, I mean, not as dramatic as our 2015 entree that we were just talking about with BYU, but both teams started out with victories, like we just mentioned. So it wasn't necessarily the prettiest of wins, I think, for either team, you know, looking at week one and for BYU and week two for Utah. You know, there's definitely some things that they're going to need to be fixed. But BYU, specifically as the BYU expert on our podcast, so they won versus Sam Houston at home, a rousing 14-0 victory. And there were really two kind of main things that I noticed about that, which I'll get into, but it was definitely a rough game to sit there and have to watch from a fan perspective. But we actually took our two-year-old. We have season tickets, and including for our two-year-old.
Not Jason and I together. It's not our two-year-old. Yes. It's his two-year-old.
My wife and I's two-year-old. Yes. And come on, son. So we took Jack and went to the game, and this was like the first game that he's really been cognitively, like, you know, he was one before. He didn't know what the heck was going on. He sat there, we held him, he drank a bottle, you know? So he was really cognitively aware of what was going on, and that made the game a heckin' ton of fun. Like, it was such a blast to see him just yell fire when they had fireworks and the fire dancers and chant BYU and do the, you know, go Cougars. Like, it was so cute to see him just starting to pick up on like some of the classic college football BYU traditions. And he was into it. You know, we were up at that game until like 11:30 and he was totally digging it. So that made that game a ton of fun. And then BYU versus SUU just a couple days ago, and came out and looked a lot better in that game, but won that 41-16. So not a terrible weekend this past one. Definitely some things that they need to fix moving forward, which we'll get into. But how did Utah do, Jake?
So funny enough, we mentioned 2015 and just the kind of ruckus start that both teams had, because you know, Michigan coming to Rice-Eccles was probably the biggest home opener at the time. Now, I say at the time because I do think our home opener this year definitely dethroned it, and that being Florida coming to Salt Lake, the first ever SEC team to play in Salt Lake City. And I mean, it was an absolute madhouse. Record-breaking attendance, you know, loud completely from start to finish. I mean, it was absolute nuts. It was the best welcome back to college football that I have ever received. I have ever been a part of. And you know, Utah just kind of controlled the game from start to finish. It started with a bang. And Utah controlled the game the entire time, walked out dominating the Florida Gators 24-11, you know, keeping them to only 3 points until the fourth quarter. So really great victory there. And then this last weekend, we had our first road test against our very first Big 12 opponent, kind of a nice little preview, I thought, of just kind of How will the Utes travel in the Big 12? You know, how, you know, will the different styles of the Big 12, you know, kind of mesh? And obviously Baylor's only one team, and they're not exactly in the upper echelon this year of teams. And they had just come off their a pretty humiliating loss against Texas State the week before. You know, Utah kind of struggled, and I'll get into some of the, you know, here in just a minute. But there were some struggles in the first half of the game. Second half, definitely, you know, fixed some things, and were able to escape out of Waco with a win 20-13. So, honestly, and I'm happy to have those wins. You know, definitely not. Utah is down a bunch of our starting players, both on offense and defense, and you know, just to see the team being able to overcome those challenges and overcome some Power Five opponents in what is, at least from my memory, the toughest two-game start to the season that I can remember. So, you know, at least as far as talent-wise. So, definitely pleased with how the first 2 weeks have gone, Jason.
Yeah, no, and it was fun. Honestly, it was just fun being able to watch, you know, watch some games. I watched both of Utah's games, and so I was impressed with Utah's, you know, fan turnout versus Florida. You knew it was going to be big. Like, there were some very loud moments where the camera was shaking. So I think you guys had a great turnout. You know, if that is indeed the biggest home opener that Utah has had, you guys showed out for it. So props to you, because you were there.
No, it was a great environment. anyways, so Jason, let's talk about, you know, kind of our bigger takeaways. And these are kind of the points we were saving there for a minute. So let's talk about just, you know, what we've learned. Obviously, there's a lot of improvements that both teams still need to make. And conference play on both sides is yet to come, but it's coming up soon. And so let's talk about our takeaways and just kind of the impressions we got from there. And I'll start this time. And the first impression I got, this one particularly from the Florida game, but also from the Baylor game, was Utah's defense is deadly. It is an elite defense, especially once it comes back at full strength. Because right now, especially at the Florida game, there were four starters. Almost the entire defensive front end were second stringers. And they completely dominated four five-star recruits from Florida that they had no business, you know, manhandling like they did. And against Baylor, they held them, I would say, fairly well in the first half, excellently in the second half. In the second half, they did much better, made some great adjustments, but again, still without quite a few of your starters on defense. And so once the defense is at full strength, it is going to be an elite, deadly defense. This is the defense that we had kind of been promised for a couple of years, and I do believe it has arrived.
Well, and in that fourth quarter of that Baylor game, man, the defense really won that game. Like, they gave... Even when the offense was struggling, they gave multiple opportunities to possess the football and, you know, kept Baylor out of scoring territory to kind of push that lead, you know, beyond where I think the offense was really capable of making that comeback. And it was huge.
Absolutely. The amount of stops and, you know, hold them to a field goal here and there that they were able to do really kept the game within reach for...
Well, and it took the Baylor quarterback out of the equation. Like, they did not trust him in that fourth quarter, and it really kind of sold the game. You know, I felt like they moved to a lot of run heavy sets, and they just didn't trust that, you know, their kind of frankly inexperienced quarterback. Because again, they had the backup in. Yeah. They just didn't trust him to throw, and for good reason. There was like three straight throws that they made that were, it was like interception and then two really close PBUs.
No, absolutely.
And after that, they totally shifted from
it. And so just honestly, defense is completely stacked. Again, once the full strength comes in, it's going to be deadly. But even then, we've had, some real playmakers, some real just tough talent. Lander Barton and Cole Bishop come to mind specifically. Next takeaway is from the Baylor game, Jaquinnen Jackson is in fact the running back we thought he was going to be. Last year, midway through the season, he converted from our third string quarterback to kind of the primary back, slowly kind of working his way up into that rough and tumble battering ram type of running back that was a massive athlete, and he really kind of transformed, especially in that last couple games in the season. And we were all wondering, okay, he's had the whole off season, a lot of high expectations we as fans were placing on him. And from what I saw in the Baylor game, he is really poised to be the back we thought he was going to be. He's going to have a big year, and he's still young, still got plenty of years left of eligibility, and so I'm really looking forward to his career as a running back. It's going to be deadly. It's going to be great. And I keep using deadly. I'm going to find other words to describe players. But, I mean, really, he is going to be a major threat. He's going to be a problem, both for the Pac-12 this year and the Big 12 next year, and I fully believe that. My final takeaway is from both games, and it's the takeaway that we all already knew, but it's the takeaway that needs to be said, and it's that Rising and Keithy need to get healthy and stay healthy, man.
You need him back.
I mean, Rising is obviously, I mean, he is the heart and soul of the team, especially the offense, but he is the heart and soul of the team, and he runs the offense, with so much efficiency and just back of his hand kind of knowledge that, the team's just different. And especially because it's not even like he's gone permanently. He's moved on, right? And so now it's time to fully invest in the next guy, right? You're kind of in this halfway point where you can't fully invest in the next guy. You have to wait for Rising to come back. You have to wait for him to be ready. And so I think that's really kind of hindering the offense to rally behind the next guy, because they know this is just temporary. Even if he's the guy, whoever's the guy for now, it's only for now. Rising is coming back. And Keithy, he is just, probably the best player on the team, frankly. He's the best player in the state, probably. And, not having, him as a weapon, even for the backups to use, is just, it's a tragedy. I mean, with either of those guys in both of these games, it would be a much more impressive score, offensively. Just much more impressive, offensive output, either one of these guys. And so they need to get healthy. They need to stay healthy, especially heading into conference play. We need them back.
Right. And not like that was my... We can knock me for my score predictions because they were all over the place, but... The idea behind my score predictions, I still feel, was pretty apparent. Utah just had enough talent to carry them, to those wins. But there's no question the offense for Utah really struggled.
Yeah.
Particularly in that Baylor game, without their guys and the two quarterback system, it just doesn't work.
Oh, I hate the two quarterback system.
It just really doesn't.
It is so not.
And it takes a lot of the flow.
It is so not Utah's typical MO to do the two quarterback system.
Right.
And looking back at it, I think it's because coming out of camp, they didn't have the guy that distinguished themselves enough. Right.
Yeah. Well, he got injured.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. I mean, quarterback number two through all of most of spring and then all of fall. Up until his injury was Brandon Rose, and he was the number two. He was front running the whole the whole room until he got a lacerated spleen from taking a full contact hit
or kidney
or something, internal injury type of thing. And it's just I understand why they did that way in practice. You have an unproven quarterback. He's got to be able to take hits. You got to know what you got with him, how tough he is. So I get that. I don't blame the coaches on that. But I think what the reason for the two quarterback system is simply because they didn't have a standout. You know, they didn't. So they wanted to provide opportunities to stand out. And I think ultimately they found the guy. And I think all of Utah fan faithful, we all know it. And who it is now, and I'm pretty sure the coaches do too. So, that being Nate Johnson, for all those at home who may not, or the Cougars at home who may not know who I'm talking about. So that'd be Nate Johnson, who I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, hopefully those guys can get back and get healthy. Don't, even with the rivalry stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You never root for injuries. These are real people, real lives, right. Real bodies. You know, you want them to be healthy. Exactly.
Right, and you want, like, I want Utah to lose at full strength. No excuses. Like that. That's how it's gotta be, man. Yeah, I mean,
that's a healthy rivalry right there.
No, for real. We hope that those guys are able to make full recoveries and get back quick. So for BYU, like a few main takeaways. And like honestly, I had this last, but maybe I'll say it first. Like, I don't have a lot to say because I don't know who we are. I don't know who BYU is yet. Mm. You know, playing Sam Houston, playing SUU, there's just not
a lot to learn.
It's a pretty lean course for dinner. If you're referring to a steak analogy, there's just not a lot of, you know, substance to really go off of. Mm. I think the vibe that I got from both games were that on both the defensive and offensive side of the ball, that the coaches were holding back significantly. Okay. They were not showing their cards pretty much at all. There was a lot of the same sort of schemes being run. A lot of the same play calls. I think we saw a little bit more on the offensive side versus Southern Utah.
Okay.
Just because they were like, okay, we've got to, like, you know, we've got to show that we can score some points, because it seriously was such a, like, it was a snooze fest, and it was also like, ugh, is this what the offense is going to look like this season? But I think you know, for BYU fans, you got to have some faith. This is an offense that has been pretty dang elite for multiple seasons. You've had a ton of offensive linemen, two quarterbacks, running backs. Tyler Algier, that just had a 2-touchdown day in the NFL, that you've had that success. And so you got to trust that it's going to be there. There would have to be some significant things wrong for there to be that big of a fallout. And so I think, I really think that the performance versus Sam Houston in particular was a combination of running the same like six plays and a little bit of kind of lackadaisicalness on BYU's side, from a player perspective. Okay. And then also just like really bad timing with mistakes, with penalties, with missed blocks, that kind of thing. It was this perfect storm that resulted in not a lot of points. Because that, again, that first drive, we drove right down the field and scored. Like, it was super easy. And so everybody just kind of sat back. Wide receivers weren't making their blocks. We had linemen downfield, a bunch of holding calls on, you know, that killed. I swear it was like five drives that BYU had that were killed by penalties, bad penalties. So that was kind of my initial takeaway. I don't know who we are, and we're not going to know until we get to, Arkansas. And even then, it's a non-conference game. Yeah. A-Rod for sure is going to have some stuff that he wants to save because new perspective that we haven't had for, 10 years, 12 years, whatever it is, like there's more to play for in conference than there is versus Arkansas. Yeah. So that will be something to watch for as well. But the defense really looked a lot better. I feel like, again, we didn't show a lot of our scheme because you didn't see a lot of blitz packages.
I mean, that's more on the opponents, not a lot of, rather than BYU's own. I mean, you can't defense well, is the action.
But I'm saying that Jay Hill was not throwing a lot of let's get the quarterback down, if that makes sense. I don't think he wanted to show off a lot of that so that he would have that in his bag for Arkansas for them conference to play. Right. And you don't necessarily, and they didn't need it versus either of those two teams. First FBS shutout for BYU since 2013. You had an FCS shutout in 2014, but that's a big deal. You know, that's 10 years. That's a long time. Even versus FCS opponents of not getting a shutout. And I think that's a little gosh danging to be real BYU. It's real gosh danging of that defensive scheme that we've been forced to endure for way too long and way longer than we should have been.
And I will say, so looking at it from an outside perspective, I did notice, even in the Sam Houston game, I did notice an immediate difference in the in the defensive play. I was very impressed. I thought particularly a lot of the closer stops. I thought the I don't know any of your players' names, but I thought the goal, end zone interception was very well timed, very well schemed. I thought, he read that quarterback like a book.
And would have had a hat trick if Malik Moore hadn't stolen the interception from him and dropped it.
Yeah, and so would have had three. The defensive play was very impressive, honestly. I mean, it was Jay Hill defense, and which is a tribute to him and his skills of being able to go in there and just in the course of, not even a full off season, but a partial off season, to completely just revamp this defense into his recognizable, style and, discipline. I mean, frankly, discipline on BYU's defense has not been something I could say in the last couple of years. And they looked disciplined. I'll say they looked like they knew what they were doing. Granted, you are facing inferior opponents, but I did notice a difference. And that's something that I think, again, a testament to how good of a hire he was.
Yep, and like we'll see. Like I like you said, I think I'm hesitant to just be like, wow, they were so awesome, so much better. Yeah. Like that, the Southern Utah game. They did have 262 yards passing, which is a lot. Yeah. But we've seen worse with our defenses in the past from us. We've given up a lot more. But it will be interesting to see. They ran a lot of single high safety. So it will be interesting to see how, Big 12 teams attack our secondary, which is by far, I think, our weakest position. And you just don't have the depth there with the two injuries to your first and second stringer. So you're running a lot of, cover one and you're running thin depth wise. And it's that could end up, being an area that I look back on at the end of the season and I'm like, wow, yeah, we really were terrible and gave up a lot of long balls. But again, I think that's what you're going to have to kind of live for, and I'm hopeful that Jay Hill has a lot more sacks by the end of the season that we get to see. Another area of concern, really quick, our run blocking. 158 rushing yards through two games isn't going to get it done. It just isn't. Like, we looked really strong in the pass game versus Southern Utah, and maybe that's why they didn't touch it as much. But a lot of zone schemes, like, this has kind of been an issue for a couple of years where our offensive line has been so strong in pass protection, but we're just not getting downhill and really locking guys and creating those holes for our running backs. And maybe it's some shared responsibility on running backs not making the right reads and some timing issues. But it's for sure a concern. Although I've been very excited about LJ Martin, your freshman running back, he had a lot of like really strong, things said about him coming out of high school, and so to see him come in, he came in like with 4 minutes left in the third quarter of that Sam Houston game, got his first touch. So first touch. With 4 minutes left in the third quarter, so, you know, a quarter and a couple minutes, and he racked up 91 rushing yards for that game, which was just, you know, was awesome to see, like five and a half yards a carry. So it will, hopefully, we'll get to see more, more assertion of dominance on the offensive line in the rush game, because it's got to be, it's got to be a factor. But that's what I got. So I brought up our punishments, our predictions, and we have gotten some listener suggestions on what our punishments should be for the loser of the score prediction game, I guess we're calling it. To knock these out, because I'm probably gonna lose this challenge. But Nate Williams 675 suggested that we should karaoke the winner's fight song, and that it would be hilarious, especially if we can't sing very well. Which clearly does not know my profound expertise in the area of musical theater. I have done, countless community theater shows, so therefore I am an expert singer.
Tout it.
Real expert.
Yep. Now, me on the other hand, hearing me sing would be very, very funny.
Well worth the price of admission. Absolutely. For Jake here.
And I just want to say, I did really appreciate the other comment. It wasn't a suggestion, but there was a comment on our YouTube channel saying that you and I bicker like an old married couple. I did appreciate that, and I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you very much for that comment. That was hilarious.
It's almost like we've known each other longer than we've known our wives.
Yeah, it's almost like we've known each other two or three times longer.
Like, try 15 years. This is what happens when you grow up as teenagers and just get all the offensive stuff out of the way. And, like, at this point, we're such good of friends. Like, we can just say whatever. Yeah. Like, Jake, I hate your goatee. Yeah.
Well, your nose is huge.
It's so ugly. Hey, man, that's a sensitive part of my body. No, it's fantastic, and it's why we did a podcast, because we just have fun.
We're here having a good time. So karaoke, that is a suggestion. It's not my favorite, I'll be honest. I really don't.
Oh, man, I would much rather do that one than this next one.
Okay, why don't you read it off for us?
So, I don't even know how to say this. Leo Supanen? Leo Supanen?
Sure.
I don't know. I gave it my best shot. 1902. Suggestion for the loser: go into downtown Salt Lake or Provo with a giant sign that says "I suck at score predictions."
Okay, so very close. All right, going right for it.
That just seems like a lot more effort. I will happily record a video of myself sitting in my house in my pajamas rather than having to go out and publicly humiliate myself. Like, I'll take the 20 listeners hearing me sing that over
a whole street full of people. Hey, man, watch your mouth. We get 30 to 40 listeners on YouTube alone.
Oh, yeah. We're real big time over here, boy. So, yeah, thank you for the suggestions. Do we have, like, are we voting on this?
How do you vote with two people, man?
If you really don't want to do this song, here we go.
I'll do the karaoke. I guess we'll just... I'm going to love watching you sing Utah Man Am I. I'm going to love it.
Man, I might have to... can I phone a friend on my score predictions?
No.
Speaking of score predictions, why don't we just bite the bullet and embrace the previous weeks and upcoming weeks, Jason, score predictions here.
Let's see. I predicted 4 wins, and 4 wins occurred, right? So, and then you predicted 3 wins, and 4 wins occurred. So that...
Stinking Baylor. Come on.
All right, so as far as, like, points, I think, or, like, how we keep track of this. So, first off, you have to guess...
Point differential?
Yeah, so I think that's how we should do it. Do it more like golf, you know?
Do we have, like, a guess the win or loss, yes. like, bonus? Like, we get awarded, like, 7 points added to the differential?
I
or is that too many? Like,
how
5?
We did it last year was... In order, at first things first, you got to get the win-loss correct, right? You got to get the win-loss. If, you know, that disqualifies you or, you know, makes the other, in this case, I would automatically win the Utah-Baylor prediction because I predicted Utah would win and Utah did, in fact, win, whereas you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then,
okay.
If
yep.
we both get it right, whether it's a loss or a win, if we both get it right, then it goes to who got the closer differential, and
okay.
that's who gets the point. That's how we did it last year.
Okay. I like it.
So
that works. I think I came up with that, and that's why
so,
I'm liking it.
As of now, I am 1 point ahead.
1 point ahead. So what was the score breakdown
okay,
here?
Okay, so I predicted a 35-7 Sam Houston. You also predicted a 35-7 against Sam Houston. Right, so even Steven, there's no points, right?
Okay.
Utah, Florida.
Thank goodness.
No joke. I mean, there's no way. We literally picked the same score, so I mean, there's no way. Utah versus Florida. You predicted 28-23,
which I have to add, and it makes me extra mad at Florida. My point spread would have been like 1 point off. It would have been like perfect had Florida gone down on that like last possession. I knew they weren't going to win. Like there was no way they were going to score twice. But I wanted them to score one time so badly just to make my score prediction that much closer. And they let me down.
You're right.
So
anyways,
it was almost there.
28
moral victory.
20. Yes, moral victory. I predicted 28-20. Now, Florida did not break 20 points. We both predicted they would. I did get closer, so that is an extra point for me. Okay? So I'm
blast.
A two ahead. BYU versus SUU. You predicted 41-7. And I predicted 42-3.
Let's go.
So, Jason, that is 1 point. That is 1 point for you.
Let's go.
All right, and then, obviously, Utah-Baylor, we already scored that one. So, right now, I'm a point ahead. We're just going to say you have a point, I have 2 points. The Sam Houston,
perfect.
We both got equally
cool.
right and wrong.
Two to one is the current score. I'll take it. We got to really lock
yes,
in
we do.
Here for this.
And speaking
now.
Of which, week 3 and 4 is coming up quick. And we actually have some pretty good games here. BYU heads on the road for the first time in back-to-back weeks, playing at Arkansas, and then their first Big 12 opponent of the year at Kansas. right? Utah, on the other hand, is at home both weeks, playing their first, finally, their first cupcake of the season with Weber State, and then playing their first in-conference game against UCLA. And, Jason, I got to be honest with you. My faith in the team down south is not very high for these games. I do just want to say, particularly for the week four prediction against Kansas, I do just want to say that this is the downside of not doing it every week, because college football and how you perceive teams, yeah, it changes so drastically. And so, based on what I've seen, these are my predictions. I think BYU is going to lose to Kansas. I'm going to predict a 30, the Arkansas 35, BYU 14.
I think you mean our Kansas. Jake. No, I'm not Kansas. Our Kansas. Well, you did say Kansas,
so Arkansas. I think you're right.
Arkansas first.
Sorry, my bad. Arkansas 35, BYU 14, and then Kansas. I think I'm going to go with a much closer loss. I'm going to go 24-21. And I know you're not going to like, I know you don't like that. I could see it on your face. You don't like that. And I am sorry about it. I want to be able to pick BYU against Kansas. I do but they played ill. They look really good. And they played Illinois, granted, which is a kind of a mid-major Big Ten team. But I don't know. I think Kansas has the wind in their sails, assuming their quarterback, Daniels, can stay healthy. I think they win at home. And I feel like I have to apologize to you for that, but unfortunately, that's how I see it. Utah, I think we take care of business, 42-7 at Weber State. I mean, that's not really a question. Fairly confident we're going to get Rising back for Weber State. Granted, I said that for Florida, so we'll never know. But I do think we'll see him at least a little bit, even if it's just for a quarter or a half. I think we'll see him come knock the rust off, and then Johnson will take over the rest of the game. UCLA, very much looking forward to this. Definitely not a blowout. You know, their team's kind of rebuilding. A lot of their major weapons, have moved on, but still a dangerous team. You know, you don't want to overlook them. I don't think it's going to be a trap game or anything. So I'm going to predict a win at home, 31-20. You copycat! Oh my gosh, I'm looking at your prediction.
Wait, what do you mean copycat? What do you mean copycat? Okay. Dude, I'm playing to win here, Buckaroo. I'm playing to win.
Oh my gosh.
I am not singing the fight song.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I 100% promise I did not look at your scores except for the... No, I didn't actually. I didn't look at your scores at all.
Okay.
I didn't. Scout's honor, which I'm an Eagle Scout.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm a staunch supporter of the current Boy Scouts.
Tell us your predictions.
All right. So it's tough to play SEC teams on the road.
Definitely.
Utah found that out last year. Arkansas, they're missing a running back. So there could be opportunities. And again, it's just so hard to know. I really wish we were doing consecutive weeks of predictions, because mine could totally change for the Kansas game based on how Arkansas goes, because I don't know what to expect. But just simply based off of last year's performance and what the talent that they bring back on offense versus what we bring back on offense, I'm going to go a loss as well. I think it's a lot closer than what you said.
Okay.
I think BYU's offense has more than 14 points. I think that they're going to show a lot more. I don't think the Sam Houston game was indicative of what BYU's offense will be. But I still have it as a loss. I'm saying 23 to 35. Okay.
23 is a very specific number. Not a very common number. Almost like there's a safety in there somewhere. I don't know. Oh, no, there's a bunch of field goals. Okay, all right, never mind.
If they get to 17 and then you get three field goals total.
23. Not unheard of.
So I'm going to go Utah versus Weber State 42-7.
Which is exactly what I predicted, so it's going to be a wash. All right.
I mean, it's so hard to pick scores in those FCS games. Much is Utah going to play?
They don't release the lines, Cam, the betting lines on those games anyway, it's fine.
I guarantee you Cam doesn't play till UCLA if he plays against UCLA. You know, I just, like, give him the full 4 weeks, you know? BYU at Kansas. I'm going to predict a win just for the sake of diversifying my assets.
Okay.
I've covered one loss. I've covered one win, right? Like, just in case the BYU team comes out and, you know, the defense really is legit and the offense plays like more like they did, you know, versus SUU.
Okay.
So I'm saying 34-21. Is my prediction for there.
34-21. Okay.
Don't question my methods, Jake. Clearly, I'm really good at this.
Yep, you're a genius at this.
Clearly. And when we're sitting here and I'm up 4-2, it's going to feel so good for me.
Uh-huh, I'm sure.
Utah versus UCLA. Again, it just depends on if Cam plays. Like, I feel like you could be in for another... And even if he does play, you really could still be in because you don't have a lot of the mobility. Hopefully Utah's not trying to, like, run Cam like crazy because you just can't risk re-injury. But I'm saying a win for Utah, 30-21, but I think it will be more like the games we've seen where it's, like, more of a slugfest.
Okay. Which, again...
I'm altering this mid-speak. I'm saying 28-17. I'm going to drop those numbers down a little bit.
If you're allowing a change, I'm going to change the BYU Arkansas. I'm going to go 17-35.
Now I feel it's all angst I have felt towards you for that score prediction are gone. All angst. Set that 3 points makes such a difference for our relationship, Jake.
I know. Just watch us both be so incredibly wrong that, like, we'll be obviously someone has to be closer to the prediction, right? So someone will get the points. But just watch us both be so incredibly wrong that we'll be taking credit for these more correct predictions, and it goes absolutely off the walls, you know.
Man, you know what? This is what makes college sports fun.
Oh yeah,
like it just every. I sat and watched some NFL today. I did. And it's
doesn't
just
have the same feel.
It just doesn't. And, like, maybe it's just because I don't have a team and I didn't grow up watching the NFL, but, like, it's just a little boring. And I think
slower paced.
I think the NBA suffers a little bit from that as well, versus, like, college basketball. But it's just, like, the opportunity for any team in college to come out and really have, you know, almost like, even if they're an underdog, the heart that is at college football and the heart that these college kids bring to the game just makes it so much fun to watch and makes it so that anything, truly, I mean, anything could happen. So, again, thanks everyone for listening. Excited to have another week here of college football. And... I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you have had fun listening to us
bicker,
enjoy it, and talk about it.
And just talk about the most random things, and just basically talk football with, you know, with the best friend. And please watch our videos, share them with somebody, like, comment. Let us know down in the comments who you think will win the prediction record, if you or what you what your predictions are for the next couple of games. Follow us online, at State of Sports Utah on Twitter, YouTube, same thing. We're also on Spotify and many other podcasting platforms that you're maybe listening to one of them now. So share us with a friend who likes college football. And thank you for listening. Go Utes!
See you next time, guys. Go Cougs.
Thank you for listening to this State of Sports Utah production. SFX technical support provided by Samantha Knight.